You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Baruta.
Chris Gilpin.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Another Friday night. Let's talk about comics. Yep. Should we get right into it? Because I got this big pile of goodies here.
I was going to say, are we going to try to do the news?
Yeah, we're going to do
stuff.
We're going to do all sorts of stuff. Yeah, Kevin Briones.
Kevin Brion.
He was a guest on our show once, and he's a jingle kind of guy, so he thought about creating jingles for our various segments, and that got us thinking. We kind of got away from segments for a little bit there.
Like a year.
Yeah. So we might get back to some segments here and talk about different things. So I printed out spreadsheets because that's, my thing. But other than that, I think we need to start promoting the Peterborough Comic Con.
Yep. We've definitely never mentioned it, though.
I think we mentioned it once or twice when it was coming.
Quite a few times.
And we were excited about it. But now it's time. It's time. We got to get everybody excited about this. What is it? September 24th?
September 24th. It's
a Sunday.
Yep.
It's $2 to get in or bring some donation food for the food bank and you get in for free. So there's really no excuse not to go.
Definitely no excuse not to go.
It's not work, so it's okay to do it on the Sabbath. God will be okay with you coming to a comic show. It's just entertainment.
Comics.
It's great. It's going to be good. So we got to pump, pump, pump. We're going to be there with a table.
Yeah.
And your lovely banner and the radio show banner. We're going to make it look all nice and official. We'll have the laptop set up and the Yeti mic, and we'll do interviews and chat and stuff, and we'll edit that and stitch that together into a backup show, and we'll have that all ready. So that should be fun as heck. And comic deals. Get your comic deals.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm really hyper and excited about it.
So far, I'm not sure exactly who else might be there. I know Alfonso had told me he was going to try to make it out to that one.
Yeah, so Alfonso Espinosa from
Studio Comics.
Studio Comics with an X. Yep. So he's going to be there, and he has tons of books that he publishes, some really good stuff. I still haven't gotten... What's the main comic he does? Night Thrasher?
Night and Spike. Or Spike and Night?
No,
he's going to be mad at us.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
I haven't bought that one yet.
Night
he's up
Spike.
To like issue 5 or 6. And Night Spike. And I don't have a single issue of it. I got some of his other ones
too.
That he did. So I'm definitely going to buy a set when he's there and read those up. And I'm just staring at the gloriousness, the gorgeousness of the Peterborough Comic Con exclusive Captain Canuck number 1 comic book. This is going to be a comic book you can theoretically only get at the Peterborough Comic Con. Excuse me, there's 250 of them made. That's it. It's a Flash 123 homage cover done by Fred Hembeck. Fred Hembeck, the master. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was talking to Dave, who's the Pop Culture Canada organizer. He's the one who's going to be doing this show. And he's like, a lot of people are like, what you do, get a 3-year-old to draw your comic book? It's horrible. This is Fred Hembeck. If you don't know who Fred Hembeck is, you need to pick up a 1970s, early 80s Marvel comic, flip to the back, and look at the little Hembeck comic strip where, like, Thor is putting his hammer on like Hulk's chest or something, so Hulk can't get up. Or it was just like really funny stuff. So it's a great cover. It's amazing. And they also kind of did like this artificial aging thing so that it looks like it's an old comic. You know, it looks like it's a 4.0, but it's not. It's in beautiful condition. So I'm excited about that. Dave stopped by and provided us with a few copies to, you know, just for fans and stuff, and because we're so enthusiastic.
They're all great. Like, he's done one for a lot of his big conventions this year, right?
Yeah, so far I just talked about the Peterborough one, but we also have the Kingston Comic Con cover and the Tillsonburg Fair comic cover here in front of us.
Yeah.
And the Kingston Comic Con one is also 250 copies only. And it's a Hulk 181 homage cover.
It's a beauty. I love this one.
And that was done by Dan Day.
Dan Day killed it.
Cover artist cover. For a few of the Northgard original comics. The
yeah.
New Triumph with Northgard. I think he did, what did he do, number one? Number four? Or number one and three?
Two and four, I think.
Two and four.
I have four. You have two.
I have two. Okay.
So those two for sure.
Yeah.
Dan so, does a lot of David's conventions too, so maybe he'll be in Peterborough.
Oh, I'm
he
sure.
He does do a lot of them, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a lot of original artwork for sale usually.
Yeah, so that's it's a beautiful cover. It looks great. And again, they did the little fake aging thing so that it looks kind of all
now,
agey.
Have you cracked one of these open yet?
Yes.
Because like it's not the normal Chapter House cover.
Yes, exactly.
It's a real cover.
So one thing that Chapter House usually does is they take a regular comic book and they just slap an extra cover over top of the regular cover. This is not the case. This is an actual, honest to goodness, real cover. You flip it open, there's the table of contents and stuff, and the copyright notices. Like, this is a little bit more, how should we say, prestigious? I want to say a little less kind of thrown together. This is really nice production value. And then, like Chris said, there's three of them. The third one, I'm doing all the talking here.
You've got all the comics.
Okay.
That's right.
The third one is Tillsonburg Fair Comic Con.
From Andrew Thomas.
And this is an homage of the famous Adventure Comics that introduced the Legion of Superheroes. And it's done in a Silver Age style by
Andrew Thomas.
Andrew Thomas.
Our buddy Andrew Thomas.
And it looks phenomenal.
And colored by Donovan Jacek, also a buddy of ours. And it's, again, aged. It even looks like it has fake yellow tape on the spine, and it's just amazing.
They are really gorgeous comics.
They're great. They're fantastic. I actually have Andrew Thomas's three copies here. That's why I have them. So we're going to go see him tomorrow at Gotham Central. He's got a little signing and stuff. So David asked me to give him his reference copies. So, of course, I cheated and looked at them. But they're fantastic. They're great.
Yeah.
So, the Tillsonburg one, I think there's 500 of them printed. So, there's a little bit more of the Tillsonburg ones.
The Tillsonburg convention looks pretty good.
Or the Tillsonburg Fair.
That one's next Saturday, next Sunday.
Next week, so it should be good. So, yeah, I got all excited and hyper about these because I've been like, What I haven't done, though, is because, it's Andrew's copy. I haven't actually read the issue.
No.
It's the first issue of the season 3 of Captain Canuck. So it looks like it'll be interesting.
It looks, I flipped through really quickly and it looks super exciting.
Excellent.
So I'll definitely have to read that.
Yeah. And this is a perfect time to jump on here, kids, because what Chapter House is doing is they're doing their 4-issue arcs in more like TV series and seasons than a standard issue. So just like Dark Horse, right? They pump out a 3-issue miniseries of Gru and a 4-issue miniseries of Hellboy. That's what Chapter House is doing. So they're just winding down Agents of Pact, Freelance.
Yes.
And Pitiful Human Lizard's a slightly different thing. So those 4 issues are wrapping up shortly. And Captain Canuck, Fantoma, and what's the other one?
Feedback.
Not sure.
Anyways, they're starting up in like a little quick 4-issue arc that is self-contained and has the story. So great jumping on point. I heard rumors that it came out this Wednesday, but I'm not sure whether that's true.
That which came out?
that Camp Canuck number one came out?
It did not, okay. As far as I know, because I picked up my comics on Wednesday and it was not in there. Otherwise, you would have heard me yelling.
Ah, it's here.
Oh, my God.
He would have been just as out of breath as I am going, yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I have Captain Canuck on my box.
Yes. I would have been.
Sorry, I'm getting all excited. Like, these covers are beautiful.
They are really, really well done.
They're beautiful. And, of course, the first thing I did was take a scan of the Hulk 181 homage and post it on all the American comic book sites going, hey, Hulk 181 homage collectors, bet you don't have this one. Na, 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 foo, foo.
I saw that post.
I do saw that.
You're now the most hated man in America.
You can't afford it. You can't afford it because you live in America and there's only one. 250 here in Canada. You can't afford it. Sorry.
Somebody's extended.
Yeah. Somebody's a bit hyper. So that should be fun as heck.
We also, at the Lindsay, I'm not going to fully announce this, but at the Lindsay and the Peterborough conventions, I may possibly have my own exclusive thing to talk about at some point. But I'm waiting for a little more. That to develop a little more before I say anything.
There you go. That'll be fun.
That's a teaser.
That's a teaser. Is that a teaser about tractors?
No, it's not about tractors. That's another teaser.
That's another teaser. Well, we'll let that go. So, Chris here finally returned my Heroes Manufactured convention DVD collector edition.
Yep.
What do you think? Because you didn't come to the premiere with us.
Nope.
What did you think?
I thought it was great.
I loved it.
All these people I know from the conventions and some people I don't know, but it was great. I loved it. It was very well done.
Yeah, like it's Heroes Manufactured, a documentary about five comic creators, and they kind of follow them through the 2016 comic convention circuit in Canada and just, you know, telling their tale about getting their comics out there. And we saw it, when was it?
May, March? Yeah, March. I think it was March.
In the theater.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
The
director, Yaron, he invited us down, which was really, really cool of him. And it was fantastic. Yaron Batan. And I'm all hyper because of the Captain Canuck, but this documentary, I'd put this up against any other comic book documentary in terms of quality. You know, editing, story, pace, mm-hmm. everything. It's just well shot, well done. The creators that they're following are engaging and interesting. You know, Shane's a bit weird with his diatribes on Facebook, but, you know, that's okay. You're allowed to be eccentric as a creator. But, yeah, it was just fantastic. I loved it. I thought it was great. Stan Lee makes an appearance.
Yep. Yeah.
Kevin Smith's in it.
Yeah.
I'm sold. I'm done. Well, I am sold because I already bought it. It's right here.
Yeah. No, yeah, I really enjoyed it too. And that that trip up to Toronto was a lot of fun when you, me, and Sam went up. And
yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, had a good time.
There's no red carpet though.
That might have been red.
I practiced. I was walking up and down the hallway doing my pause and my twirl.
Didn't we all wear, I wore a suit coat.
Yeah, we dressed up a little bit.
Yeah.
We tried to look as presentable as Sam is.
Yeah.
So we all,
and that was the first time I like ever wore a suit coat to anything. So I enjoyed it actually. But I have a copy of that myself. A friend of mine, Adam Bishop, picked it up in Toronto at the Silver Snail.
Mm-hmm.
And I have yet to rewatch, but definitely want to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to try rewatching it this weekend because I haven't seen it since that premiere, but I mean, all sorts of film festival awards. And you got to get it. So they had the DVD for sale at which comic convention? Niagara Falls? Niagara Falls.
I wasn't there.
I think it was Niagara Falls that it was for sale. Special collector's edition at conventions. So I'm sure Alfonso Espinosa, our friend again, he's going to have copies of this at almost every show he's selling. And I'm sure there's going to be a more widespread release eventually. Hopefully we'll get it into cool shops like Sunrise Records.
Maybe.
You never know.
You never know.
You guys didn't have Highlanders. I was a little grumpy about that.
Yeah.
But you did have Zombie Strippers. So.
We did.
I haven't watched it yet. But
did you actually buy it? I can't remember.
I did. I bought a Blu-ray.
I watched that when it came out.
I bought a Blu-ray at Dan's store called the Zombie Strippers.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one.
But I also got it with 1941.
Is that the one where the people who are zombies see each other like they're normal?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. No, okay. I haven't watched it. All
right.
But yeah,
I mean, I think that could be it. It might be something else.
How can you not buy a movie called Zombie Strippers?
Well, there was a zombie movie where the zombies didn't know they were zombies, and even if they talked to each other, they didn't. They just saw normal people. So they'd go around and talk to people who weren't zombies. They're going, "Hey, guy, how you doing?"
But I mean, my favorite TV show right now is Blood Drive. So of course I'm going to watch Zombie Strippers.
That's right.
Anyways.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, aside from saying I liked it, speak.
I did. It was great. I mean, like I said to you guys out in the waiting area there, just seeing people that I know, and then there's a guy I've met. His name is Andrew, and I've seen him at conventions all the time, and he's from this area, and I've seen him out at Lakefield, and I just actually saw him today. And then I went home and I threw this movie on finally because I knew Martin would want it back. And it was like 10 minutes into it, there's Andrew. I'm like, oh, man. I sent him a text message. Man, you're in the movie. He was all excited. It was like, oh, that's cool.
Well, what was funny for me is I'm watching it and I'm like, hey, I was right behind the camera in that scene. I was behind, not like filming behind the camera, but like sitting. Like they were at a Captain Canuck panel. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so you were the guys that were in the way that made it so I couldn't see the guys at the panel. Because I know I was at that panel. And
Stan Lee was 2 years ago, right?
Well, the Stan Lee, I think that was like that one of those paid breakfast things. So I wasn't at that one.
Yeah, part of it was the breakfast. Part of it was the Q&A the night before.
Could be.
Because when they turned the camera on, it said, Stan Lee. There was a big bald head in front of the camera, and I swear that was me.
Could be.
Because I was sitting right about there because I had those special seats.
Yeah.
We'll take some pictures of the back of your head after the show and we'll compare them.
Forensically compare them. But yeah, like, I mean, you know, we were at almost every single one of these conventions that these guys were at. And so it was a fun documentary.
Yeah, we must have been pretty much following them around because they were in Ottawa the same year we were there, I think, last year.
Yep.
And talking to that nice young artist that we met, you, Martin, and I met.
The only show that they did in the documentary that I wasn't at was the Cambridge Art Festival.
Oh, right.
I've never headed out there. Which, Daryl, right? From Daryl's changed his name to avoid his identity.
I can't remember what it is now.
I think he's just going by his first name and his middle name, but I'll have to look. But yeah, he changed his name because he thought his last name was too complicated for the arts career.
Yeah.
Other people have done that too. Andrew Thomas. But
not Martin Barato.
No, not me, man. You can mispronounce my name all you want. He's going to Cambridge as part of the Canadian Comic Book Creators Association. And we were going to try to get a table out there and get it all set up and pedal and stuff, but My sister has a wedding anniversary, so I can't go. Actually, I could go.
So he goes by Daryl Joseph.
Yeah, yes, Daryl at Joseph.
I had to go all the way back to yesterday at 4:06 to see a notification from him.
There you go.
Yeah, he's working on Penny Steel.
Penny Steel, yeah.
Stealing. He's Penny stealing away my favorite artist, Sharon.
Oh my gosh, Sharon's hilarious. But so he's going to be at Cambridge, but I won't be. But we're going to try to do Whitby Comic Art Festival this year, which should be fun. They asked me if I wanted to moderate a panel. I don't think they realized that radio and like in person are two different things. I'm talking into a microphone and nobody is listening except you two guys.
And we're barely listening.
When you're on a stage, there is a lot of people looking. They're staring.
You know, if you go to Cambridge.
Yeah.
You can just go across the highway to the Kitchener comic book warehouse.
Yeah, no go off, eh? No.
I'm going to an anniversary.
When is the Cambridge one? It's not too far away,
No, it's not
right?
too far
Sometime
away.
In August.
Sometime in August, yeah. I'd have to look it up. So, yeah, should be fun. And, you know, we're doing Fan Expo and stuff, and we're obviously all going to be doing Peterborough and see if we can do some of these conventions, but...
July 22nd.
There you go. July 22nd.
So, yeah, that's pretty close.
July 22nd.
That's next Saturday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that should be fun as heck. Mm-hmm. That should be fun as heck. I don't know. I really like TCAF, Toronto Comic Art Festival.
Yeah.
And
like that was, TCAF was just an amazing experience.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
And before anybody gets upset, we're not saying TCAF is a better experience than other conventions.
It's not a convention.
It's just a different comic book setting. It's a different vibe. You go there and you enjoy different things. Like Fan Expo, for example, you know, everyone's like, yeah, comic conventions aren't about comics anymore. Well, Fan Expo is more than a comic convention. It is not
That's
a comic
why it's
convention.
Called Fan Expo.
Exactly. It's more than.
It's for There's, fans.
There is a miniature TCAF right there. It's called Artist Alley. You know? Yeah. And if you want to dive for comics, there's a section there for comics. If you want to check out all the latest Xbox games, there's a section for you. There's a horror section. There's an anime section where you can buy those really weird long body pillows. I'm not sure what that's about, but yeah. Whoa. Body pillow. Anyways.
They may need to find a bigger space.
What, for Fan Expo?
TCAF.
TCAF? Oh, definitely. I think...
Or a different arrangement or something.
The library's cool, and it's really neat because it's a great architectural space, and it's really cool, but it wasn't really designed for, so there were definitely some congestion points.
Yeah, because you disappeared into a crowd in the corner. I said, no way, man. I just turned around and
yeah,
walked away.
Yeah, like I was trying to get to Mark from Expired Comics, Big Nick.
Who I've still never met and didn't see him there.
There you
he
go.
Must have been.
Yeah, Mark and Kevin, Mark and Kevin were there. But this way was blocked, so I decided to go around this way, and it was along a wall with windows, and they had these seats, these chairs molded into the floor facing the window. So normally, yeah. If you're in the library reading, you just sit down in this very nice teak chair. But when you're trying to get through a convention and they put a table a foot away from the back of this chair, it was tough. So I was literally like jumping over, pushing people aside, jumping over this, jumping over that. Chris was like, oh, no, I'm nope, not doing
not
that.
Not even trying.
That looks like an obstacle course.
I'm already sweating and I'm not going in there. But they had other locations. Like, we went to the temple, but there was other locations that we didn't go to.
Yeah, there was one more location. I can't remember where it was.
Well, though. I mean, maybe they could just expand it upwards some more. Like, there was a third floor that barely had anybody up there. So.
Did we even get to the third floor?
Oh, no, I don't think we did.
So just put some more people up on the third floor, make it a little less congested.
Yeah, what was in that other building?
I don't know. I remember there was just around the corner at the something. I don't know. Can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But we went to the temple.
Yeah.
Where Image was.
Well, we definitely weren't bored, so it's not like we ran out of things to do.
No. No.
So, obviously, you know, apologies to whoever was in that other building, but don't take it personal. But anyways, so, yeah, Whitby's going to do a comic art festival like that. In their library. So that should be fun. That should be fun. I don't know. I still have to decide whether I've got the couillons of steel to moderate a panel. Because you know for a fact my Lex Luthor's going to be there.
Yeah, probably.
So that might not be comfortable.
Or it might be good. Say, hey.
Hey, how you doing? Anyways, that's another story. Yeah, what else? Well, since I'm rambling, you guys should ramble for a bit.
So DC made a couple of new announcements.
Yes.
That you guys seem to like. I might check it out. Eggman and Deadman.
I do, but I don't.
No?
But so,
the good thing is there's 6-issue. So Deadman and Ragman, new 6-issue miniseries coming out October, I think, for both.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really enjoyed Ragman on the Arrow TV show, the guy that did Ragman. That was pretty cool.
I read the original, I can't remember whether it's late 70s, early 80s, Ragman series.
Yeah.
I think it was just after the DC implosion.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did another Ragman, I can't remember whether it was Vertigo or not. But my wife, who is not a comic book person, there was actually Ragman issues like at her cottage or something. Yeah, there was like Archie's and Ragman and a few other comics. And she read the snot out of that book.
Yeah.
So she always gets excited every time I pull out my Ragman series. She's like, oh, Ragman.
I have it. I haven't read it. I gotta,
so
much
yeah,
I gotta read.
But my problem is I got instantly nostalgically excited about it. I'm like, oh, Ragman, yes, yes. Oh, Deadman, I love Deadman. Yes, yes, yes. I got the same excitement over Man-Thing. And that series turned out to be as we say, a giant steaming pile of dung.
Yeah.
And it was like, what, $10? No, it wasn't $10. It was what, six issues? At $3.99 a piece, US? I can't remember if there was six or more issues. And it was horrible. It might have been eight issues. I don't remember. All I know is, like Sam, I didn't read the last three. It was limited? Yeah, it was a little limited miniseries. It was done by that kids horror writer, R.L. Stine. Oh, and yeah. It just, I don't know, man. It just didn't do it for me. It just, like, Man-Thing is normally like this non-talking, brainless creature that just wants to be loved. And instead, he had, you know, his full faculties, and he was talking, and he was, it just, ugh. So, am I going to get crushed by Deadman and Ragman? Am I going to get crushed?
Pick it up and give it a browse on the shelf and see.
Because I didn't like their Vigilante series that they did.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Southland? Vigilante Southland?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like that. And I was a huge fan of Vigilante in the 80s. So I don't know. I don't know. I got really excited when I saw the announcement. And then afterwards, it was like, I should just calm down or I might set myself up for disappointment.
All right. Well, let's get into this then. Because I know you're going to love this.
Oh, okay.
Where did I put that?
I'm assuming Dan didn't read Ragman.
I did not.
Lenticular Covers.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all I'm going to say. Martin, go.
Did you read the same headline I did?
Marvel to release Lenticular Marvel Legacy Variant Covers. That one?
No. I read one where it said, Marvel is bringing back the Lenticular Covers.
Like, and I was like, the covers that DC just did 2 months ago?
The covers that DC did 2 months ago, the covers that DC did during New 52. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I find that there is some comic book websites where it's so Marvel-centric. Marvel is the greatest. Marvel is everything.
Yeah.
Marvel this, Marvel that. I'm sorry, but Marvel's only 40-some-odd percent of the market share. There is a big, huge, steaming pile of other comics out there. Marvel did not bring back Lenticular Covers. They've been back.
They've been back. They never went away.
But other than that, yes, more variant covers. And I actually have something about variant covers here to talk about, too. But, okay, I'm literally holding a box full of Captain Canuck variant covers that I got really, really, really excited about. And I'm about to just totally poop on variant covers. So I completely recognize the hypocrisy there. I do.
Can I talk about Cable first?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Only if it's about legacy numbering.
Well, it is legacy numbering. It's Cable 150. I don't really care about that. What I care about, the cover and the story really reminds me of... Oh, the team that jump through time fixing stuff and... Oh, man, I can't think of it now. Anyways, so right there on the cover with the group is Longshot.
Yes.
Which I'm totally excited about.
Longshot's an awesome character, an underused character.
Yeah.
He was great.
I've read through the article... It looks like he's going to have like his own team of new, not so new mutants. Longshot, Shatterstar, which is Longshot's son, depending on which universe reality kind of thing you breed. Dupe, you know, Dupe from the little green guy.
Oh, D-O-O-P. Yeah.
Dupe, that's what I call him.
I want to say X-Mutants, but that's not right. Ecstatic?
Yeah, Extreme. X-Men Extreme. Anyways. Blink, yep. Armor, and the last one, X-23, which to me...
I don't know who Armor is.
Armor is the girl who... Her power is literally this force field that expands around all of her body.
Oh, okay.
There's a version of her currently in X-Men Blue.
Oh, okay.
Where they're trying to get back Logan's son. But that's her power. She just forms this armor, this pinkish hue around her.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know who Blink is.
Yeah, Blink, yeah.
So that's obviously like saying, hey, X-23 is not going to be X-Men, Wolverine anymore.
I don't know. I just think it's one of those things where, hey, it's a popular character. Put it in the book so it sells more.
Or do you think possibly, perhaps, perchance, by some strangeness, this is another X-23?
Well, that's what I'm trying to... Give me a second while I mumble and bumble and try to look up the name of that team. Where Longshot was on the team, as was Blink, and they traveled through different dimensions. Exiles, thank you. It reminds me very much of Exiles.
Yeah, yeah.
So Exiles would go to different timelines, different dimensions, solve the problems. But, I mean, we know that Cable can time jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So between him and Blink and the characters they've got lined up, it almost seems like a new Exiles to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see where that goes. I just want to see Longshot again. It's been so long. Although they're hinting at Longshot in the X-Men Blue and Gold crossover in Legacy.
Well, they've got Mojo's back. They've got to put Longshot in a Mojo story.
Yeah.
That'd be ridiculous if they didn't.
Mojo Jojo.
Where's Dazzler? She seems to be missing. Is she on a team?
She was. Wasn't she like the government?
Wasn't she like the SHIELD?
Yeah, wasn't she like the government representative on Uncanny Avengers or something like that?
Yeah, she went kind of like a SHIELD thing.
Yeah. So, speaking about Marvel. Marvel, we've released some sales figures for June. So, Martin brought spreadsheets, so bear with me here. Top 10 comics for June. Number one was Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man. We kind of saw that coming. Number two was Dark Days, The Forge from DC. Number three was Star Wars, Darth Vader. Number four was Batman 24. Number five was Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, number nine. Sixth on the list was Batman 25. Seven was Edge of Venomverse, number one. Eight and nine were The Secret Empires. And number 10 was Walking Dead, 168. So right off the bat, I like to just get the number ones out of there. Because they're artificially inflated numbers.
Yeah.
So we've got Batman, Secret Empire, Walking Dead.
Yep.
Actually, Batman. Secret Empire, Walking Dead. So let's get all the event books out of the list and just regular comics. Batman, Walking Dead.
Yep.
And that's been the trend. Every time we look at these lists, if you get all the special books out, all the number ones out, and just look at the top 10 list, it's Batman and Walking Dead. That's it. Batman and Walking Dead. That's it. I don't see no America on here. I don't see no Miss Marvel. Aquaman's not on here. I don't see, you know, Saga. I don't see Southern Bastards, which is one of my favorite comics from Image. It's not on here. But then again, it's on a bit of a hiatus, so that's a bit unfair. But everyone's like, look, Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, number one. Woo, woo, woo. Number one. Well, first off, it was a $4.99 book, not $3.99. Yeah. The two Batman books are $2.99 a piece, and they got position 4 and 6 on the list. Actually, sorry, I lied. Batman 25 was $3.99 because it was a double-sized issue for only a dollar more. Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man had all sorts of retailer incentives. They had midnight release parties with swag that you could buy and give to your customers. They had, what was it, 17 variant covers?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was 17.
Ridiculous.
You know, and all those numbers inflate the heck out of it. I thought it was a great story. I thought it was a great comic. But I'm easily expecting 60% drop-off for issue 2. I really think, usually you're looking at 30%. I think you're going to see 60% drop-off. I think 60% of people that bought copies of Spectacular Spider-Man number one will not be buying the same number of issues too.
No, and that's all part of the speculation market.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, everyone's jumping up and down. Oh, Marvel took market share back. Oh, Marvel this, Marvel that. No, it's Batman and Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Star Wars, Darth Vader number one. I mean, the regular Star Wars book isn't here anymore. DC's Dark Days, The Forge, again, lenticular cover and regular cover and all these other covers. Edge of the Venomverse, that had a ton of variants on it.
Yeah.
Secret Empire, of course, that's the event comic. I'm actually surprised to see Secret Empire in the top 10 when everyone's saying they're not reading it. So who's buying it?
Maybe it was just a slow month.
Don't blame me, Dan.
No.
Dan's secretly buying 14 copies of Secret Empire.
Again, they'll be worth something soon.
This is Diamond's numbers, not retail numbers.
Yeah, we can get into that if you want to.
No,
yes,
we don't need this to.
This is
because that may answer your question.
There is no retail numbers. Like nobody aggregates what actually gets sold to customers.
So if the stores are all buying Secret Empire, and nobody's buying it from them.
Well, there could be all sorts of incentives, right?
Yeah.
If you buy X number of copies of Secret Empire, we'll give you X number of copies of Star Wars Darth Vader number one. Or we'll give you a bigger discount on Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man number one. Marvel does that all the time.
Yeah.
You know? As far as... Sorry, I'm going to bore the snot out of you guys with more numbers. Comics shipped. How many comics do you think Marvel shipped? Not... This doesn't include variants. So all 17 different covers...
In a month?
Yeah, all 17 different covers of Spectacular Spider-Man counts as one.
Oh. I have no idea.
So how many titles do you think they shipped
in
June?
Math.
101.
Titles.
Titles. Do you remember when you could buy every single Marvel comic that came out every month?
I used to do that at Dixon's.
There you go. Well, what's $3.99 and $4.99 times 101?
Well, $500.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just on. But like, what are the rest of those titles?
Well, it's all that other stuff. Like, you know, they've got what is it, the Disneyland Tomorrowland or something, and Max something from Disneyland. So that book, their young reader books. There's six different Deadpool titles. So I mean, it's tons. Now DC's not that great either. They're at 84. And I know that includes Mad Magazine, Scooby-Doo, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they don't do that many. That includes Vertigo, but Vertigo's dead, so nobody gives a crap about Vertigo. Image Comics, 55 titles a month.
But that's, like, that's still a lot. Like,
oh, yeah, 84 is still a lot.
Well, but even Image with 55 titles, like, name more than 10 Image titles.
Oh, exactly.
You know, like, what are the where's the rest of these 45 other titles?
We'd have to get Sam out here. I bet you'd name them all. You know, some...
He might be able to get up to 15 or 20, but...
Some Detective Seal, something else. IDW, which I was kind of interested about this, 51 titles.
Which is, again...
Almost the same as Image, right? IDW is really coming out with more and more stuff.
Well, they've got... G.I. Joe and Transformers, right? And Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles. And
Doctor
they got,
Who.
They got
Star Wars. So
they've got Disney comics.
Star Wars now.
Yep. The Star Wars comic, which, you know, I own a comic book company, but I'm going to get somebody else to make my comic books. That makes total sense, Mickey. Boom 23, Titan 15, Dynamite 23.
Aftershock isn't even on your list.
Aftershock's not on the list. Chapter House, like I said, they're doing the three titles every 4 months, so they're obviously not going to be
well,
on
let's,
here.
Can I jump ahead and put some perspective
on it does
on
say
that.
Here, for example, sorry.
That's what I was going to say.
Other non-top 10 titles. So if you're not in the top 10, there was only 116 titles.
So Marvel had 15 titles less than all the non-top 10 companies put together.
There you go.
So that's insane.
That's crazy.
That is... crazy
bananas. Yep. But I mean, you know, what can you do? It is what it is,
I guess. Just buy what you want to buy.
Well, that's exactly that. I'm you know, I'm looking at three copies of that Batman Elmer Fudd, and I put them back on the shelf because I'm like, no, I just want one for myself. And then I decided, no, I'm not going to get one for myself. A week later, all the hype and stuff, so I found one for myself, I kept it, and I found one more. I'm like, oh, do I get this? Or do I not? Do I put it back? And I decided to put it back. And then, of course, Chris needed it. And I'm like... But I still have... You know, every time I do the speculator thing, I still have those issues. You know? And nobody wanted them.
Now let's just talk about Batman Elmer Fudd again, because I read it. Because you and Sam managed to wrangle a copy for me.
Yeah.
And man, that was a great comic book.
Wasn't it awesome?
I loved it.
Did you find a copy?
Not yet.
Oh,
I'm hoping tomorrow.
Now I feel really guilty.
No, it's not your fault. It's my fault.
But, yeah, it's just a great story.
Like, I just love that it's all from Elmer Fudd's perspective.
Yeah. You could have redrawn Fudd, renamed him, and got all the Wabbit speech bubbles out of there and put a regular guy in there, like anybody, you know, like a Sam Spade kind of Mickey Spillane kind of character. And it would have been equally as amazing as a comic.
Yeah, it was like a real like noir.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it.
And I'm sure that's why people are freaking out over it, because it is a really good comic that's caught a lot of people by surprise. I mean, that first week when I saw those copies, two of the variant covers, three or four of the regular covers sitting there, just sitting there. And I was like, no. I didn't buy
You could have been a millionaire if you had bought them all.
No, I would have had one given to Chris, and then I would have been sitting on the rest.
On okay. six copies. But you'd have the hard-to-find variants.
I'm telling you, I'm tired of it.
I have a related topic to talk about.
Yeah.
So, Venom, Sinner Takes All number 3.
Okay. Oh, yeah, all right.
The old Venom.
Bride series. Of Venom.
Yeah. It makes her first appearance.
Yes.
So people are going crazy for it. Because wow. there's rumors. There's rumors that she's going to be in the new Venom movie. But at the same time, the people on the forum are making fun of the fact that it's going up so much. But I've typed this a couple times and I delete it. And I'm like going, look. You guys are making fun of the fact that there's a character coming up in a movie. This is her appearance from the 90s or whatever. You guys are the same guys that are just spent $30 on Batman number 24 and X-Men Gold number 1 and Elmer Fudd Batman.
Yeah.
Like, how can you go out and buy these brand new right off the shelves? You can still find them if you look comics for $30. And yet make fun of a book that actually has a first appearance of a character that's going to be in a movie, and obviously the book's going to go up.
I actually have a theory about that.
Okay. Besides the fact that they're idiots? No, sorry.
No. Okay. So, Ontario is geographically really messed up compared to the rest of North America.
Yeah.
We can literally drive from one end of Ontario to the other in a day and hit a multitude of comic shops. There are so many comic shops in Toronto, it's ridiculous. All within spinning distance. You go to some place like Toledo, Ohio, you could have to drive 12 hours to get to a shop.
Yeah.
You know, you go to some place like Tallahassee.
Yeah.
You know, there might not be a comic shop in your county.
Yeah.
So I think the guys that really, really go nuts are either the idiots, like you said, the speculators that are trying to, you know, this book's going to go to $50, so I should buy it at $30. You know, or if I buy this $50 book and grade it, I can sell it for $300, you know.
Yeah.
So you got those morons. But then I think you actually have an honest to gosh huge population that's underserviced that are like, well, I want that comic book.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe I said that wrong. I get that.
Yeah.
Like some people just don't have access like we do. I get that. But to bash a comic that's going up in value because... You know, she's going to be in a movie, and hey, maybe she'll be the next Gwenpool. Who knows?
Yeah, I think
right?
The other thing there that's into play is I honestly think that the guys that are laughing the hardest about this are the ones that paid the most amount of money for Darkhawk number 1.
I know, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Darkhawk number 1, an eternal 50-cent comic book, you know, a dollar bin comic book that sat in the dollar bin comic book until somebody had a 50% off sale, then somebody would buy Darkhawk number 1. And it's a great series, so it's a shame that it's in that shape. And then there's just the slightest hint of the possibility that he might be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And the prices just start soaring.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I found 4 copies at this crappy comic shop, and I got them pressed for $30 a piece. And now I'm going to send them off to CGC, and I hope CGC doesn't take 8 months to get them back to me so I can sell them before the movie and all this stuff. And
he's not in the movie.
He's not in the movie, and it all implodes, and there's no Darkhawk.
Yeah.
Like, Jared is making fun of the fact that, you know, he was a big, ooh, Darkhawk number 1, 99.8, white pages. And now that, you know, he's a bit sarcastic of an individual and people take him seriously.
Yeah.
So he's on the forums going, you know, Darkhawk's going to be in the extended scenes on the Blu-ray. Yay, Darkhawk! You know, just to kind of tease people. And they're like, you're an idiot, man. Darkhawk's not worth anything.
Yeah.
I'm upset because I paid $100 for my copy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is.
Does this not feel like exactly what the collecting community needs? Is a few of these false alarms for people to be like, you know what? It's not worth rating a dollar bin on speculation.
I don't think so.
And then reselling that?
I don't think so, because all you got to do is look at, you know, personal opinion. All you got to do is look at how many comic collectors are going nuts every time Image comes out with a new number one,
yeah,
hoping to catch that Walking Dead number one in a bottle of lightning. And yeah, there's been a few books that come close, but no Image Comics number one has been worth $3,000.
No. And I do agree with that, but even if you look at, like, Redneck number one, which is a very new book, it's only 3 months in.
And people went nuts.
But it's, you know, worth $15 to $20 on eBay. So if you paid $5 for that, you still have a chance to make your money
no,
back.
No, sir. Let me get some math going on you. So you listed on eBay. There's about $5 in listing fees because you have to put, like, the extra photo up there, and you got to put it in bold so that yours stands out from the 50 other ones that
I
are
love
there.
When he does this.
Then you got to buy the shipping material, because if you charge too much shipping, the Americans get angry, and shipping to the U.S. is not cheap. So I have never got enough money from my shipping expense to actually pay for shipping and the box and the boards and all that sort of stuff. Then you get hit with your eBay fee, which I think is, I want to say 11%.
It, yeah, it was 10% when I sold on eBay a while ago, yeah, but I haven't
plus
done that for like a year.
Then you get your PayPal fee.
PayPal fee.
And now you are going to get hit with GST on all sales. So like Chris was doing math there.
You forgot a couple things.
Oh.
Gas money to get to the store.
There you go.
That's one of my favorite Martin expenses. You're going to stop for lunch somewhere. You got to include that in there.
Well, you know you always
boards
do.
And bags. Boards and bags. So
I don't count boards and bags anymore because I get so many boards and bags from CBA that I don't use that I'm okay with boards and bags.
Yeah,
but here's the other thing, and this is a legitimate thing. A lot of people don't realize it, okay? I am a computer guy, and our shop bills $100 an hour on a service call.
Yeah.
So
mileage.
My time is literally $100 an hour.
Yeah.
So I could spend an hour fixing something, or I could spend an hour running around town doing miscellaneous errands like posting books to the post office.
Yeah.
So that also factors into it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sitting on my butt. I got kids. I got a house. I got a wife. I got buddies. I got, you know, a fairly active lifestyle and stuff. I'm not sitting around going, yeah, maybe I'll go to the post office today. Spend 3 hours there talking to the unionized postal employee while he gives me crap for not knowing how much my box weighs and what size it is. And he tells me repeatedly, you know, you could have done all this online all yourself. Yeah, if I had a scale. If I knew what your postal rates were.
Yeah.
If you guys posted exactly what the rates were with my corporate discount card and what I am eligible for. Like, I don't want to research how to be a postal guy. You get paid to be the postal guy.
Well, I'm holding on to Redneck until they actually make it a TV show. Then it'll just skyrocket.
Exactly. It'll skyrocket. And all those
gold,
people,
Jerry,
all those people that have it in CGC 9.8 already.
Yeah.
The gold laminated cover, the gold foil cover, then they're going to laugh at you with your regular cover.
The thing that just sucks about all of this.
Who says I don't have a gold foil cover?
Dang, I bet you do.
Is that, you know, all these people who are hoarding copies of Redneck number one, hoping that maybe it'll be a TV show, are keeping people who actually want to read the comic from getting a copy to actually check it out.
There you go.
You know?
I have one and two. I got to read them still.
They're good. I like them.
Is three out?
It was a great
three
series.
Is out, yes.
Three is out, so I got to get
like,
three.
I love Southern Bastards. So when Cannibal came out and what was the other one? Moonshine. I read them and I thought they were really good. I stuck with Cannibal for a few issues, and then they went on a bit of hiatus. I figured too many books, I didn't get Moonshine. So this kind of Redneck genre that's coming around, most of them are pretty good. And I read Redneck itself, and it was really good. But, you know, how many books can you buy a month?
Yeah.
When I have to buy, 101 Marvel comics every month, I ain't got time for Image. I gotta buy my Marvel zombie books. I shouldn't say that. Like I said, Johnny DC is 84.
There's actually a Marvel zombie book out right now. So.
Yeah, exactly. And another Deadpool kills the Marvel universe because they didn't kill it already, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually read a good Deadpool comic this morning on my Marvel Unlimited app.
There you go.
Deadpool the Duck or something like that. It's a Howard the Duck Deadpool mashup.
Yeah.
Red issue number one today. I thought that was pretty good. It's pretty funny.
I remember it, but I didn't read it.
But I was trying to get all the variants with the letters on them because it spelled Deadpool or Duck. Or, I don't know, but I read the first couple issues. It's good. Yeah. Like, well, because Rocket Raccoon's in there, right?
Yeah, Rocket Raccoon's in there.
Somehow Deadpool and Howard the Duck merge into one person, and then you got Rocket Raccoon. It was actually kind of funny. I got to pick up the rest of it, though.
Yeah, Deadpool and Howard the Duck are touching a teleporter, and then Rocket bites it and causes it to explode, and they get merged into one person. Yes.
They should have checked to make sure the pattern buffer wasn't full.
They should have. But it was pretty funny.
Isn't that what happened in Star Trek? The pattern buffer?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. You like that, eh?
Yeah.
I got a text message from the wife. My inner account is very proud of you right now. Point Brute at eBay Zero. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, what were we talking about? Deadpool. I don't know. I like funny books. I loved the Justice League Blahaha book when it came out. I dig it. I just can't get into Deadpool, and I can't get into Harley. I've tried both times.
I enjoyed the first arc of Deadpool Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It was good.
A lot of people said gave it up was after good. That. I should have tried it. Yeah.
This is the only Deadpool comic I've read for a couple of years, which is probably why I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's too oversaturated, right? But if you just pick one title and read it on occasion, you don't feel that.
That Marvel Deadpool Destroys the Marvel Universe trade paperback is the number one selling trade paperback. That Marvel produces right now. So, I mean, it must be good because nobody buys trade paperbacks on speculation.
No, that's true.
Nope.
But I also feel like Deadpool is like, I don't know, the Rolling Stones of comic books. Like, the fans are just going to buy it no matter what. They've got crazy, the AC/DC, you know, it doesn't matter. I guess, you know what?
The Tragically Hip.
No, I would say AC/DC is actually a really good reference here.
Nope.
Because you know, AC/DC, each album is not that far from the previous album.
I dig a few AC/DC songs, but I totally agree with you. They are completely interchangeable.
And I actually have a great quote. Somebody told me that one time Brian Johnson was being interviewed about a new AC/DC album that was coming out, and the interviewer is like, so you've got a new album coming out, and he's like, no, we have another album coming out, because even they know that they're pretty much the same thing.
It's a formula that works, don't mess with it.
That's what Deadpool is, a formula that works, and the fans buy it up every time, you know. And it's cool when they do something different, like Spider-Man, Deadpool, or whatever, Howard the Duck and Deadpool. But you know, those fans that like Deadpool probably get all the Deadpool titles
and
keep that in the top 10 or whatever. So,
well, that's why they keep making them and putting them in every series, right?
So, yeah. I noticed you got an interesting comic on the table.
I'm not talking about that comic at all. We're going to talk about Dan's list pile of comics.
Well, I just got, have either you guys read the new Dark Days, the casting prelude to Metal?
I skimmed it. I'm old, so I'm finding I'm having concentration issues.
I'm finding the same thing.
And yeah, I wanted to read it.
That's why you buy comics like this one. I'm hiding on the table.
I wanted to read it really badly, so I started reading it, and I was obviously not in the mood. So I got the gist of what happened, but none of the finer points and the details. I got to go back. Like, there were entire segments of the Hawkman stuff that I just breezed through. I didn't even read six panels. I was just like, yeah. Okay, Hawkman's talking about stuff.
Yeah, I tried to read it like before work yesterday as I'm eating my lunch. And, you know, I think a lot of it was lost on me. I haven't been a big fan of either of the two Metal comics so far. But
you can thank Harry for that one.
Oh,
anyways.
Adults only.
We're getting distracted here because my buddy Harry and I, we kind of swap comics on a regular basis, and it's like a military tradition of getting a care package. You'd always get like a box from home or something like this. Or if you're at summer camp, your mom would send you some cookies and stuff. That's so right. We kind of make this comic book care package. We send it to each other. And I started sending him 1980s swimsuit edition comics. So like the Marvel swimsuit and stuff. And he's sending me.
Oh, he sent you that naughty thing?
Yeah.
Harry.
He sent me some interest. Yep, Harry. This is the luscious nude variant of Jungle Fantasy Annual number...
Damn,
2017.
Damn,
it's not even numbered.
Disgusting.
So I was going to hold on to that and slip it into Chris's thing because he keeps slipping Pope John Paul II comics on me.
Right. Dan, you're the walrus.
I am the walrus. I posted this on the Facebook group, but I was like, you know, you always see those people who are like, I found New Mutants 98 for a quarter at a yard sale. But I actually found a cool Captain Canuck piece, The Walrus from February 2007 featuring Captain Canuck. At a yard sale for 50 cents here in Peterborough.
Nice.
And I was super excited. It was stolen from the library.
But libraries, not by you.
Not by me, I swear. I wouldn't steal from the library ever. But it's also possible it was one of the ones they just like wrote off or whatever and then sold as a part of a sale. I haven't actually looked at it much. Do you know anything about this, Marty?
Not too much. I know that there was a Time magazine with Captain Canuck on the cover and it had nothing to do with the comic book character. They were talking about import and export in and out of Canada.
Yeah.
I think this Walrus one is actually talking about historical heroes in Canada or something like this or publishing, but I can't remember. I used to have a subscription to Walrus and I know I got this issue, but I didn't save it. I don't know where it is, and I actually don't have one of these in my Captain Canuck collection.
I couldn't believe it because like I've had an eBay search going for like more than a year and haven't seen this once on eBay.
Yeah, nobody trades Walrus on eBay very often. Yeah.
But
that's an awesome yard sale find.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
It's in terrible shape, but you know, with the library stickers all over it, but it's still something I've never seen before. And again, if you don't see it ever on eBay, you know, it's somewhat hard to find.
Yeah.
I think that adds to the history with that big old sticker on the front of it.
But I still want to mint one.
Cover. Captain Canuck has been appearing in comic books since 1976, painting by Richard Cumley. That's all it says. Cover. I don't see anything about an actual article inside.
Yeah, I didn't see anything, and I was just flipping through, but...
That's weird. The Walrus is a neat magazine, for sure. I kind of miss not having it anymore. But, I mean, I get so many... Well, I don't anymore. I used to get tons and tons of magazines. I don't even do that anymore. I think I get one now, Road and Track.
That's pretty much all the time we've got this week. So I guess I would just say make sure you go to yard sales.
Look through
the crappy magazines because there might be a Walrus Captain Canuck underneath there.
Which you're going to mail to me.
Yes.
I've just learned that apparently Arthur Adams did something in a Mad magazine at one point. So I'm looking for that one.
There you go.
Mad magazine, Walrus magazine.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?